Hello friends, in this session we are going to deal with chapter 8 and it is named as tourism organizations. Now clearly when we are studying tourism industry and we are telling that it's a global industry, obviously there must be lots of organizations to make sure that the entire smooth operations of tourism industry over a global platform is taking place. So let us have a look as to what we are going to deal with in this chapter. These are the key points which we are going to cover. It's the introduction of the tourism organizations, international organizations which are promoting tourism, the main ones is that. Tourism promotion boards in prominent countries, we are going to take certain examples of countries and in that the tourism departments, what are the work that they are going to do with respect to promotion of tourism, and tourism promotion organizations in India. So we are going to study the examples in India as well. Let us see the introduction. Now when we are talking about tourism industry, we can trace back its booming period till World War II. So what happened post World War II was the world had it was experiencing the peace, there were better political conditions. This prompted people to travel from one place to another, a comparative to the condition which was before or during the war that we were talking about. So international travel and several travel associations were formed. So as this tourism industry or travel industry became started becoming global, there was a need for organizations on a global platform to deal with this particular movement or this upcoming industry. So many associations were formed, out of which the most widely recognized and notable is UNWTO, which is United Nations World Tourism Organization. It is a leading international organization in travel and tourism even today. Other international organizations which have specialized interest in tourism include ICAO, that's ICAO, IMCO, AIMCO and IATA. We will learn about this one by one. Now here are certain tourism organizations with their logos. The world organizations which are working on a global platform is UNWTO. Regional organizations which are there are PATA, ECAC and ETC. So those are concentrating their own work at a particular region. So PATA is the Pacific Asian and European regions over there. Then the national organizations like our own ITDC, which is of our nation India. Now let's see first with respect to world organizations, the examples which are here is ICAO, which stands for International Civil Aviation Organization. It is a specialized agency of UN and is concerned with the development of international civil aviation. Now when we are talking about international civil aviation, clearly it is considering of dealing with members of civil aviation industry, that is the airlines which are making sure that the movement of travelers is there from one place to another. It also deals with all the rules and regulations which are there with respect to civil aviation. So here, International Civil Aviation Organization forms a major role in making sure that the civil aviation across the world is in a smooth way possible. Next is the International Governmental Maritime Consultative Organization, abbreviated as IMGO, which is an intergovernmental organization concerned with cooperation in sea transport. Now when we are talking about sea transport, we are talking about the oceans of the world on a global platform here. So that is an intergovernment, it works with the government of the countries. International Air Transport Association, IATA, is an association of airlines which are concerned with the development and regulation of the air transport industry. Members include about 80% of the world's international airlines. Now when we talk about ITA, it deals with most of the airlines, almost all form a part of as ITA. It takes make sure that the entire process of safety, security, of other regulations about the taxation issues, about international laws, about the freedom of air and many other things which form under ITA. So ITA also helps into its role about how it helps with respect to the travel agents or travel companies and the airlines. So these are the world organizations which are notable in tourism industry. Now let's concentrate on what are the certain important ones when we are talking about regional tourism organizations. The first and foremost here we can deal with is PATA. Pacific Asia Travel Association is a mixed governmental and non-governmental bodies that work together to promote tourism industry professionalism in Asia and Pacific area. So it forms the functions which come under them are making an aim by developing the tourism across these countries and the island countries which are in this particular region. So there are many functions which form under them, for example the promotion, the information distribution, the coordination between different islands countries, cooperation between them. All this forms under them. The European Civil Aviation Conference, by the name itself, it suggests that it's a regional organization specialized with respect to the European countries. So, with a specialized interest in tourism and concerned with cooperation and coordination of European airlines. Now, when we are talking about Europe as a region, we know that there are small countries, if we talk about individual countries in Europe, when a traveler is actually visiting Europe, there is area which is Schengen area which is created to promote better relations between the countries. And so this also helps in the sense that if I am a traveler and applying for a Schengen visa, I can go to more than one country under that particular visa. So there are certain things which are helping the tourism industry in the European region. One such thing is European Civil Aviation Conference, which has under it all the major airlines which are there in the European region. So they deal with what I should say, cooperation between different airlines of that particular region. Next is European Travel Commission. It is again an alliance that provides for the collaboration between 33 European national tourism organizations. So it is basically working as an umbrella organization for all individual countries' national organizations, and they come together and work. So coordinated efforts are put in to make sure that the tourism is developed in overall European region. Its goal is to attract customers from overseas markets to come to Europe through promotional campaigns and industry trade shows. So what happens is they attract the international travelers as a group. So if we are talking about visit to Europe and visit to an individual Europe country, it is the visit to Europe wherein two or three countries together will help attract more travelers to them. So all this, all such policies and other promotional work are being done by European travel commissions. The next comes on a national level. So we are going from global to regional to the national level. Now clearly we at a national level there has to be a tourism organization which deals into whose main aim would be in developing the tourism industry in the country. So it is regulated and directed so as to ensure maximum benefit for the country and the negative factors are minimized. So this is the two main aim of that particular organization. It has to be, the tourism has to be beneficial in the maximum way possible, and any negative effects which are arising out of that, any negative impacts should be minimized or curbed. The degree of control. When we are talking about degree of control, clearly we are talking about those countries which make sure that the tourism is not an independent activity. For example, if there are countries like India which might give a free hand over tourism as an industry, so there are the government, the private companies which are working hand in hand and making sure that the overall industry is raising. But there are certain countries which will be having a different perspective on that. So the degree of control will differ between each country. The only remaining countries as of now are that control the tourism completely are North Korea and Turkmenistan. So what happens here is that if a traveler wants to visit this country, the government rules are there, and it is fully in control with respect to how tourism in that particular country is going by. So again, one such example can be of a country like Russia, wherein there is only one airline which is under the government control, Aeroflot. So what happens is there can be only one in Russia itself. There is only one travel company which deals with all the travel bookings, etc. So what happens here is it is controlled activity. The tourism is a controlled activity. So that can also be the case. In capital countries, a mix of private sector and public sector involvement in tourism is seen. So there are other examples wherein such a government and private sector mix is seen. So those are the national tourism organizations. Now let us concentrate on UN conference in 1963. It was a landmark conference with respect to tourism, travel and tourism on a global platform. So United Nations Conference on Travel and Tourism in Rome, 1963, adopted the following resolutions. So this was one of it. It is incumbent on governments to stimulate and coordinate national tourist activities. So, in this conference, there were many resolutions which were passed. Out of this was one wherein the conference made sure that the government of the countries knew the benefits of tourism to that particular country. Post that, the resolution which was passed by the conference was that it is government's duty to make sure it is making healthier policies for the tourism industry to be nurtured in that particular country. So, convinced that this task can be in the main be carried out through the medium of national tourist organizations. And to make sure that this happens on a centralized, coordinated process, a national the countries should have a national tourist organizations. This was the resolution which was mainly passed in the conference. So, post that, most of the countries came up with their own national tourism organization. Virtually every country in the world has a national body which is responsible for tourism. It can be a part of ministry, a constituted part of government department, or an organization with a separate legal status. Now, in country like India, wherein we have a Ministry of Tourism, we have Department of Tourism, we have Department of Tourism corporations at a state level as well. So it depends upon country to country whether it is either a full-fledged ministry or a department under a particular ministry, or it is a completely different entity which is taking care of all the functions that a national tourism organization should do for the tourism to be beneficial. Generally, the role of an NTO will be to ensure appropriate development and promotion of a nation as a tourism destination. Now, that's the foremost thing here, wherein promotion of its own country as a tourist spot, as a tourist destination, should be done by this particular organization. And care has to be taken that it is done in such a way that it is not giving any negative impacts on the country. So, this can include the following functions. How do we cope with this? What are the other functions? What are the functions which come up with it are listed here. First and foremost is research. Now, when we talk about research, let's take an example in India. Suppose if I as the MOT, that's Ministry of Tourism, want to develop India into a tourist hotspot or tourist destination, clearly I have to have a ground research. I need to know what are the spots that can be developed, that can be potential tourist destinations, what are the things that will be needed to develop such tourist destinations, etc. Again, there can be a research on the market basis, that is, this may form under a product research. Then there are market research, that is, which will be my potential market, what are the kind of people based on their say demographics or the country from they hail to would be interested in coming to India. All this will form under research. information and promotion within the country. Now, clearly, tourism product sells more only when it is seen. So, it needs to be the information about that product needs to be reached to the masses or to the travelers. So, information and promotion within the country. So, that's the one of foremost thing that within the country itself, that there has to be information offices wherein a person can come and contact and get any kind of information for it. Now, when we talk about the other thing, this was on the home base. Here we are talking about overseas promotional activities. Now, it has to be on two-way basis. So, if I am as Indian government concentrating on developing the influx of the tourists, my promotional activities should be focused and concentrated in other countries. By my research, say suppose if I know by my data or my research that the market from Europe is the one which has a potential to grow, I will make sure that there is a tourist overseas office situated at the European region, and I am making sure that there are certain promotional activities which are going on in European countries. So, this promotional activities can be many. It can be either setting up an office over there which acts as a contact base for the travelers. It can be taking public relations. It can be sponsoring an event. It can be taking part in trade fairs. It can be taking part in conferences, seminars, etc. So, these can be overseas promotional activities. It can they also have what I should say, the networking, good networking with the agents and the others which work in the tourism industry. Next is the international relations. Yes, care has to be taken that international relations are better to make sure that there are maximum influx of travelers inside the country. Development of tourist areas. Now, foremost, we need not only the promotion, that is not only attracting the tourist, but making sure that we are developing our tourist areas. So, suppose if I am talking about already I have a particular city like Mumbai or Agra, which already has certain tourist attractions, which are able to attract a large number of tourists. To that city, I have to take care that I am developing it, maintaining it, and making sure that the infrastructure is well maintained, making sure that there are good roads reaching that particular site. So, all this will happen and it can be taken care by the these tourism organizations. Overall tourism policy and promotion. Now, we all know that there are our policies, tourism policies which are passed by the tourism department. So, under this tourism policies, there can be many laws or regulations, there can be ethics which are concerned with tourism industry as such. So, these policies and promotion work is done by the organization. In supporting key tourism interests in a time of financial crisis. So, this is again one of the function which can be taken place by the organization. Now, let us concentrate on one of the other main international organization, that's International Union of Official Travel Organization. It is IUOTO. What is it? Formed in 1947. Who are the members? Are the national tourism organizations as well as private and public international organizations, which can be full members and associate members respectively. The aim is to encourage free movement of persons and through this to make nations more prosperous and peaceful. So, that was one of the aim of IUOTO, wherein as the tourism industry was becoming global, care had to be taken for safety and security of the travelers who are going from one place to another. The relaxation of the laws, more free access from one particular country to the other, and apart from this, it will be adding up to the prosperity and peaceful relations, international relations between countries. It does this through conducting research, collecting statistics, and offering consultancy services and assistance. So, this is how the IUOTO deals and makes sure that the function, that is the aim, is taken care of. Now, IUOTO was folded up in 1975 and was succeeded by World Tourism Organization, WTO. Now, WTO is officially known as UNWTO to differentiate it with WTO, that's World Trade Organization. So, that's UNWTO for you. This is the logo which takes place. Let's see in detail about UNWTO. Now, as said earlier, it is one of the most recognized, widely recognized, and most important when we are talking about tourism organizations of the world. It serves as a global platform or forum for tourism policy and our practical sources of tourism know-how. Now, it is a huge file of data. So any kind of information, official information about any countries which are part of WTO can be taken taken from here. Its membership includes 150 countries and territories and more than 450 affiliate members, which are represented by all of this who are constituents directly or indirectly with tourism. So we have the local governments, tourism associations, educational institutes, private sector companies like airline, hotels and tour companies. So all of this form as affiliate members, and there are 150 countries and territories which are also members for UNWTO. Its headquarter is in Madrid, Spain, and it is coming under the UN wing. Now, the main role for it is playing a central and decisive role in promoting development of responsible, sustainable and universally accessible tourism. Now, there are many policies, many rules, regulations which are laid down by UNWTO. They have done lots of recommendations on a global platform, which has been taken seriously by the governments of the world. And this has made sure to create that the entire tourism industry is more responsible, more sustainable and universally accessible. So there is a free movement between countries, so that has made sure that there are international relationships which are maintained. Again, reasonable and sustainable tourism, meaning we are talking about making sure that the negative impacts are minimized. So that's responsible, sustainable, with the aim of contributing to economic development. Again, that's one of the aim which we have, the economic development of the country wherein tourism is taking place. International understanding, peace, prosperity, and universal respect for and observance of human rights and fundamental freedoms. Now, these are the main aims. Now, suppose when we are talking about and regulations which are put down by UNWTO, they are making sure that the international relations between two countries are maintained. Further ahead, by laying down certain rules for regulations or recommendations for responsible and sustainable sustainable tourism, care has been taken that people who are traveling from a culture, going to a different culture to experience that culture, are knowing about those culture, they are understanding that particular culture and respecting it. So what is happening is they're bringing the world together. Further ahead, it is the observance of human rights, the freedom which is there on an individual level has to be maintained. So there are various other things which come under the cap of UNWTO. Now, current facts about UNWTO are, it has 154 member states. 7 territories are associate members. Now, territories can be with respect to territories like Hong Kong, Puerto Rico, etc. 6 regional commissions. Now, UNWTO, in order to make sure that the administration of the entire world is on a global platform is run smoothly and coordinatedly, it has divided the world into 6 commissions, regional commissions. So that is under UNWTO. The official languages which are recognized by UNWTO as official languages are this: English, French, Spanish, Russian and Arabic. Now, 27th September is celebrated as World Tourism Day, and it is celebrated since 1980. Now, what is the composition of UNWTO? That's General Assembly, Executive Council and the Secretariat. Regular meetings are held by this particular members, and various things like promotions, general laws, regulations, recommendations, etc. are done by UNWTO. Now let us check what are the main functions of this organization. Its goal is to raise the standard of living, especially in developing countries. Now, this is one of the main aim wherein we are talking about the countries which are still on developmental front. Tourism being an export industry, it being there for employment, better employment opportunities, and the one which is which can raise the entire economic standard of that particular country. It is making sure that that aim is goal is achieved. There are nearly 400 affiliate members of the WTO, businesses, universities, local tourist boards, tour group operators, etc. Now, all of these members in some way or the other are the ones who are either supporting the tourism industry or are main constituents of tourism industry. UNWTO works closely with international organizations like UNESCO. All right. So here what happens is UNESCO and UNWTO works in such a way that it is making sure that there is betterment of the world, and tourism in some way plays a part of it. For example, it can be, say, voluntary tourism, which can be taken place by UNESCO and UNWTO, wherein it is also a tourism and also a voluntary work involved. So there are certain policies and programs which are taking place on that global platform with airlines and hotels, etc. So UNWTO might work with the airlines. It might work and guide the airlines or recommend the airlines to take certain procedures to make sure that XYZ is carried out, which will have which might help the entire society in general. So it is like likely to achieve its goals like sustainability of the world environment. So suppose for an example we can take that it is UNWTO which lays down certain rules wherein sustainable tourism is done. For example, it can pass a resolution saying that develop eco-tourist hotels or lodges, make sure that the airlines are flying in certain way or certain policies which are making sure that the negative impact on environment is less. So UNWTO works with other constituents of tourism in such way. Its global code of ethics for tourists, if you actually go on UNWTO website and you can search for global ethics of global code of ethics for tourists, it is a file which gives how a responsible tourist can go ahead and have a responsible tourism. So suppose if I am a traveler going to a country wherein I shouldn't be harming the environment, I shouldn't be harming the culture over there, the negative impact should not be there, etc. So rules has to be followed, law and regulation of that country needs to be followed, wastage of resources needs to be curbed, help has to be given for the local people over there by making sure that you are using locally available or locally sold or manufactured goods over there. So all this comes under global code of ethics of tourists, which are certain guides or guidelines which are given for travelers. The other thing that it works for is to prevent human trafficking and other abuses. Now, with the recent trend, we know that there is human trafficking which is going on high and on a high percentage. So UNWTO, it works to make sure that such prevention is there. There are many contact centers and many other help centers which are provided, and there are many policies or recommendations which are there to prevent such abuses. UNWTO is particularly devoted to promoting tourism in developing countries and has worked to accomplish some of the UN's Millennium Development Goals. Now, when we talk about UN's Millennium Development Goals, there are 8 Millennium Development Goals which are passed by UN in the year 2000, all right, and these are dealing with eradication of AIDS or making sure empowerment of women is there, etc. So all these 8 Millennium Goals are the goals for this millennium, which was passed by UN. So UNWTO makes sure that it is working towards those goals. So and especially in the developing country. Now, what are the additional functions apart from those functions that we just saw? Let's see studies, travel trends through recent history. Here, what we are talking about is studying of travel patterns or travel trends. Now, as we know, travel industry, tourism industry is a very dynamic industry. There are many things which are going on various levels together. So what happens is there are different travel patterns, different trends which are hitting the market. UNWTO's main aim is to study those travel patterns, to understand how it is affecting say the country of the destination or the entire tourism industry. So suppose if we are talking about the travel trend wherein people are starting using more of technology, all right, to guide their tour packages or travel itineraries. So UNWTO will come up and try to study what effect such a travel trend will have overall on the tourism industry and overall global platform. So studies travel trends through recent history, predicts future tourism trends. Clearly, UNWTO is a treasure of information. So it is on a global platform, can make a certain future predictions. These predictions might help the businesses which are involved in tourism industry for their upcoming steps to make sure that they are more profitable. So suppose if based on the data that UNWTO has, if it comes up and predicts that in the near future it will be the environment tourism which will take place more, there are travel agencies, tour operators which might come up and start making packages to suit such a certain market which is predicted to come in 10 years time. So suppose if based on the data UNWTO it has predicted that in the near future it is Asia who is going to be the tourist hotspot, what will happen is there are huge investment companies which will make sure that they are moving their base to Asia to make sure that they are the first ones over there to help or to be profitable in that particular years wherein such infrastructure and investment opportunities are going to come. Issues travel warnings. So there can be warnings which can be done by UNWTO with respect to travel trends or tourism trends which are there. Prevent spread of diseases. Now clearly with when we are talking about diseases or security with respect to health of human population across the world is concerned, with so many people, millions of people moving from one place to another, one country to another, chances are that an epidemic which is at place A might spread more quickly to a place B and then again affect that particular region. So it is UNWTO which makes sure that data about such disease outbreaks is made available to rest of the world, and care has to be taken, that is it recommends certain steps which can be taken to prevent such spread of diseases. It also recommends in its recommendations to travel organizations wherein what are the tips that can be given for the travelers to curb certain diseases while on travel. Helps countries market their destination. So UNWTO being on a global platform is an ideal stage for every country to present itself to the world. So what happens here is it is helping the countries to market its own destinations. Encourages countries to simplify visa application process and reduce travel taxes. So clearly if a country is easily accessible, it is here where the travelers will flock to. So UNWTO makes sure that the visa rules, especially for travelers or tourist visas, are relaxed. There are many recommendations which UNWTO has done wherein tourist visa on arrivals, other policies like cutting off the taxes, other policies and cooperative policies in between two countries wherein free movement of travelers from one country to another has been taken place. So UNWTO has been an important body to form such policies. Trains travel professionals. So training is one of the thing that has been done by UNWTO. It provides various content or data or research. It also provides various training sessions wherein a training can be done for the travel professionals. So overall standard of service delivery is developed or increased. Helps reduce congestion at the world's most visited sites. So there are certain recommendations which are done by which the congestion or the traffic, tourist traffic at a particular place is less concentrated. Helps destinations rebuild their image after crisis like natural disasters. Now, clearly, when we are talking about countries which has been hit by a cyclone, or maybe it has been hit by an earthquake, or any other natural disasters, the travelers will not be so keen in visiting to that particular countries. There can be many financial losses which might have affected the overall aesthetic beauty and the finance of that particular country. So over here, UNWTO gives an helping hand to that country to rebuild its own image. It is UNWTO which makes sure that the information is broadcasted towards through the, to the world, that the country is now back in action, and you can, as a traveler, definitely go and visit such countries even post such natural disasters.